and it hits me, oh my gosh, this is that triangle.
You know, there's explanation for everything that occurred in the Rendlesham Forest incident that doesn't involve aliens at all.
It was completely silent. It comes right over our heads.
He saw a classic flying saucer, really, standing in a clearing.
He turned over to my father and held his hand, and he looked in his eyes and he said, we're not alone.
Welcome to Podcast UFO for our live show. We're live every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Dark Matter Radio Network. Please remember to visit the website podcastufo.com for past episodes, blogs, and forums. During the show, feel free to participate live in our chat room. And don't forget to like us on our very active Facebook page.
Hello, everyone. This is Martin Willis, your host. And we have another good one coming at you tonight. Our guest later on is Mark Schwartz from Truth Funders. Before that, we have Alejandro Rojas from Open Minds Radio to talk to us about the latest UFO events. Now, if you want to subscribe to hear the second hour of the podcast, go to getjoyride.com/podcastUFO. Don't fret. The link is right on our website. It's in our sidebar. And subscribers pay a dollar a month or more only. That's 23 cents a week or more to listen to the second hour of the show. And there's a private link right on iTunes that'll put you right on iTunes and other media players. There's all kinds of cool ways you can connect and listen to the show that way. There's also a studio tab, and I'm probably going to put up a how-to page just because I'm getting a number of email, and you are welcome to email me if you have any issues at martin@podcastufo.com. Well, it's time to thank a few, at least some new subscribers at the $5 a month and higher fees. And by the way, the campaign is going really well. I appreciate everyone supporting. And if you can't support us, I do appreciate you listening. I appreciate every single listener. I'll put it that way. A couple of names out there I want to do a shout out on is someone who's actually given us some music. You're going to hear some of it later on tonight. Bruce Rainier. Thank you, Bruce. And we have another Bruce, and his name is Bruce F. Now, I'm only going to give the initial to the last name unless you email me at martin@podcastufo.com and say, go ahead and use my full name, and I will shout out the full name if you'd like. And we have a Gabe W., and he is from overseas, I can tell that, and so is Anders J., and then we have a David M., and we have a lot of $1 subscribers. I want to thank you all for that. I mean, we have so many people subscribing that other podcasts that are in the same campaign have been contacting me and asking me what I'm doing because they're not doing quite as well. And I wish them best of luck. I'm trying to help them out. And I really do appreciate all the nice email and support that we are getting for our shows. I love doing this show. You can probably tell. And I hope to continue doing it. Our website did crash this last week once again. I had it on sort of like its own server, but it was a cloud. And now we had to put it on its own special dedicated server. And this is a gold-plated problem, getting so much traffic that, you know, the site just keeps crashing. I am going to be stopping my chatting here and introducing Alejandro Rojas right now. How are you, Alejandro?
I am doing pretty well, but extremely busy getting ready for the UFO Congress.
Yes, and, you know, by the way, guess what I'm purchasing tomorrow?
A laser gun.
That, and I am purchasing a ticket to come out to the Phoenix area on February 17th.
Yeah, sweet. That's awesome. I'm so excited. And what's kind of cool about this year, although I'm a little bit worried about it, there are so many people coming to it that haven't been there before, such as yourself, people I've known and worked with for a while. And then my mom and my sister are going to be there. Hopefully I have time to say hi to everybody. It's such a busy, busy event. But I am excited because I know people will love it because it's a gorgeous venue. And I was, you know, going over our program. We're looking that over, getting that ready to print. And the speakers are just so cool. I mean, we've got Cheryl Costa from New York talking about New York UFOs. Her talk looks cool. James Clarkson worked with MUFON, and He is talking about this amazing witness who worked at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. We've got Joan Bird, who did about UFOs in Montana. Linda Zimmerman, who wrote about Hudson Valley UFOs and did a film on it. Just these amazing people that some people might not have heard of before. And if you haven't had these people on your show, you've got to, because they're great. But just have done some excellent work that people are going to love.
I was just talking about Joan Bird, the last podcast I did with Dr. Artie Clark.
Sig Skeller, yeah.
Yep, and because they're good friends. And Joan was going to be on the show, and her email vaporized, so hopefully she will be on the show. We can talk about that later, and I can get her on prior to being out there and, you know, talk a little bit about what she's going to talk about out there. A little more extra promotion. But anyway, I'm really looking forward to it. And I really would like to do some type of round robin live during the live spot on this show right from there. And I'm going to be talking to you, you know, offline, of course, trying to see if I can make that happen. Sounds like it would be a lot of fun and interesting.
That would be excellent and excellent.
I'm going to do another podcast on location. And I'm just kind of and I'm going to do it live, of course, live on the radio. But I just wanted to kind of give the listener that, throw that out there, that toward the end of this month, or just like in 2 weeks or so, or possibly a little bit later, I'm going to be traveling down to the Baltimore area and doing a live podcast with a really interesting gentleman with some amazing things that he's going to be showing me. So interesting that I decided I'm just going to do the podcast right with him right there. That'll be fun.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. Sweet.
All right, so now we plugged you, we plugged me, we're all set to do the news. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now that we've plugged everybody and been all nice, I'm going to give you some crap for something you did today. You posted a Facebook story that is our story, and you didn't post this us, but that it's not necessarily your fault. Partially. Well, it is very much your fault, actually. So there's the Project Blue Book files went online. John Greenwald posted those. They're all free in PDF format. They're searchable. I wrote a story about it because I'm so happy with what John Greenwald did here. Funny enough, which is really cool, the Daily Mail picked it up, and they linked to us and gave us credit, which is great. But then a bunch of other news sources now have picked up the Daily Mail story, and they've kind of dropped us, so they're not even mentioning us. But they are mentioning John Greenwald and putting a link to the Black Vault, which is good because that's the whole point of this. But you posted one of these copycat stories, I think, from the Mirror, who dropped us, and so...
Well,
you could have got it from the source.
Yes. And, you know, I have a good – she's listening right now. I know she is. Peggy. Peggy's the one who –
Oh, yeah. Peggy's great.
She is great, and she works really hard at the Facebook
page. You're passing the buck.
I am. But I'm also going to say this, that Peggy would never mean to do any harm, so it's just totally an oversight.
I think Peggy could do some harm. She seems like a person who is able to – take care of and handle herself.
Absolutely.
And I wouldn't want to mess with her. She seems like, you know, she could do harm to someone if she got upset enough.
That's my Peggy. Yes.
Yeah. So, but this is really cool. It's cool that the story got picked up. A lot of people are, or not a lot of people. Some people are saying, hey, he stole some files from someone else. But that's not the case. And just to clear that up for any of your listeners, there was a gentleman, he went by on Above Top Secret and some other places, something like Extreme was his name, and his name is anonymous, even though I know his name, because he emailed me and other organizations and said, hey, I've got all the Blue Book files, you can download them here. It wasn't an easy task to do it either, the way he set it up. It was like 200 gigs of picture files. It took 2 days for me to download, and he's like, please post this. But that's not easy. People don't understand. Just because you have those files, it's extremely difficult to then get those on your server, to host them online, and then format them. You're talking about thousands of files, so you got to create thousands of links to get those up there. So I couldn't do it. MUFON asked us if we could help them do it. We said, unfortunately, we don't have the time to do that. But John Greenwald is smart enough where he worked with this extreme guy, and he was able to create some programs that automated the process, turned them into PDFs that are searchable, and then he was able to post them. And it's awesome that he did that, and he had the know-how to do that. So wow. He didn't steal these from the extreme guy. He actually worked with that guy to get them up on his site. That guy has I won't use his real name because he's wanted to remain anonymous. But just so people know, you know, John didn't steal those, and he had to do a lot of work to get those files up. And some people have said, well, they're kind of free, lots of them on a site called Fold3. But they are all pictures. You can't, you know, the searchability is nowhere near as nice as these PDFs, which you can easily download from John Greenwald's site. So it is a feat. It is great. When I researched Blue Book, you know, it used to be very difficult to find those files. Even with Fold 3, it was a bit of an effort. And I had to pay to get access to download those at Fold 3 when I first went on there. Now they offer them for free. But if I had the Greenwald database, I would, and I, even though I have them on a hard drive that I schlep around, I'm actually just going to use John Greenwald's site from here on out to access those, because it's been difficult to get to all of the Blue Book files prior to this. So I think it's a big deal. I'm glad these other stories have picked it up and are running with it as well.
I think it's absolutely great. And yeah, that website Above Top Secret gets traffic like you can't believe, and this is only going to it's going to excel, you know, even higher.
Well, these are all on the Black Vault.
Oh, the Black Vault.
Yeah.
What was I thinking? Above Top Secret.
I had mentioned Above Top Secret because originally that 200 gig download was posted on Above Top Secret.
Ah, okay. All right.
And that's why people think John just stole those and posted those. But he did do it in cooperation, and he did get credit on his site, too. So there's some conspiracy theories out there that I would like to quelch that John deserves the credit he's getting.
Yeah. Yeah. John's a good guy. He's going to be on the show soon, he says. Hopefully
great.
He will be. Yeah, he's a good guy. I like the work he's done.
Oh, and this story, too, just to follow up. I did do an interview with him, so he talks about the posting of those files and some good insightful stuff there.
All right, so someone can listen to that. Now I'm going to plug you again, even though you know you just bashed me. So that's on openminds.tv. You can find that?
Correct. Openminds.tv, the place for UFO news.
And right here. So carry on, son.
Another one that I wanted to talk about is just the day after we talked, and I think I was researching this when we did talk last, there was a story about thousands of people seeing a UFO in Argentina. This was about a week ago last Sunday, a week and a half ago now, and this was mostly in the town of, I'm not even sure how to say it. It's like Gualeguaychu, something like that. In Argentina, very near Uruguay. But a lot of people saw this light flying over in some of the videos. I went and I found several videos people posted online of these lights. You can see people out in the street looking at it. It slowly moved over the city. Then in another city about 20 miles away, they spotted it as well. And so this was kind of a big deal. A lot of the Argentina news was covering it. In these videos, you can't see a whole lot. People described it as a slow-moving blinking light that was stationary for a while, then would move. Some people said that it zigzagged at times. And there's different reports. Of course, that would be really weird if they're zigzagging. Some people have said, well, it's probably a quadcopter or a drone. But a lot of the witnesses had said, no, they don't think so. And they argue that if that was the case, you know, it wouldn't have been seen 20 miles away. So a lot of people in Argentina were excited about this, and there are lots of videos up on this one.
Cool. Wow, that's great when you have that many witnesses.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a pretty cool one.
Yeah. Yeah. So our last story of the evening.
The last one is for our UK listeners. Again, some of them may be aware of it because it's starting to get all over their news out there in the UK. But one of their stories, or one of their papers, The Chronicle, had posted this story about a UFO over the town of Tynemouth. And this was Monday. The video was, or the UFO was recorded. But essentially, this gentleman, who's a venture capitalist, I believe, was going outside to walk his dog at about 11:30, and he saw an unusual light. He said it wasn't – he's used to the planes. It was moving like a plane. It was different colors, and he thought it was really weird. He videotaped it and posted that video, and so the story's getting out there. And this isn't just a UFO sighting story. It's also a story to watch out. Because this video, the gentleman said, I recorded it, and it looks like a pulsating light that's pulsating different colors and is diamond shape. However, some of you may be aware, but there are lots of diamond shape UFO videos
yes.
on the internet, but that is not the UFO's shape. What that is the aperture in the camera. What happens is if you have a bright point of light in the sky and you get it out of focus, it'll turn whatever shape the aperture is. And most apertures are diamond shaped, so you're going to see that diamond shape. So unfortunately, this is not an accurate representation of what that craft looks like. Also, often it can look like it's changing colors because of the atmosphere. However, when you do watch this this video, you can see that there's something pulsating there, but of course that could be a plane light. So the video isn't conclusive that it's not a plane, but something was there. So really, in this case, you have to rely on the witness testimony. In that, he says, you know, it wasn't a plane, that it was something different than that. But, of course, then it's just anecdotal. But people can go look at that, and that's a story that's in the UK news today.
Well, you also, every once in a while, you hear about these diamond-shaped crafts that people actually see. Like,
yeah.
for instance, I believe Cash Landrum case. I believe that
yeah.
was diamond.
Cash Landrum. True, and it was more of a taller diamond shape. So that's a good point. That doesn't mean that people haven't seen diamond-shaped craft. But this story all day has made it going over and over in my head is, shine bright like a diamond, shine bright like a diamond. But now I've got that stuck in your listener's head as well.
Yeah, and mine. Thanks a lot, buddy. Hey, we'll be talking to you next week.
All right. Awesome. Thanks, man.
My pleasure. And so hang in there, and we'll be right back with Mark Schwartz. This music is by Bruce Rainier. Thanks, Mark Schwartz, for joining us. And from Truth Funders, I believe we spoke a little bit earlier. You know, I've been crazy busy with a startup that I'm involved in. And I never really got to look to see exactly what Truth Funders is. So the audience, listening audience out there, and I are going to all find out together. And by the way, if you're listening live in the Dark Matter Radio Network, you can jump over to podcastufo.com into the chat room. It's a real quick, easy sign-in. You can ask our guests some questions, And we have a couple of other guests coming up. We have Jonas is coming up. Jonas, I don't know, Pachanka? Is that how you say his last name?
It's close. We can ask him.
Okay. He'll be coming up, involved in the Truth Funders as well, that coming up in a half hour, 15 minutes or so. And then in the second hour of this show, we'll have Rick Fryer on as well. So first of all, let's hear it. What is Truth Funders?
All right. Well, Truth Funders is a crowdfunding platform specifically designed for the paranormal. I'm a big fan of the paranormal, of Art Bell. I grew up listening to Art Bell, and I've been working in the technology and video production world for the past 15 years. I helped create a language called TVML, which is the television markup language, and created a lot of applications, and was nominated for a Primetime Interactive Media Emmy back in 2010 for some of the work that I did. So here in Silicon Valley, I was constantly, making the trek from Northern California to Southern California and bringing them the latest tech that they could use because, as we all know, Hollywood is changing and the way, the broadcast, people aren't plugged in as they used to be. Now everybody streams things and watches TV through their computer. They call us cord cutters, and places like Comcast are not big fans of cord cutters, but the new generation, that's how a lot of us actually get our information and our television. So, while I was doing this and while I've been working on all these different projects and social media projects and video projects, while I code all day and while I work all day long, I listened to old Art Bell podcasts, and that led me to new podcasts that are out there. You can only get so much of the old before you need to know what's new and what's happening and what's going on. So I started listening to things like, Dark Matter Radio Network, a lot of other different podcasts, a lot of other different paranormal podcasts, and something that I heard all the time was that people needed funding. They needed funding for their projects to test, Bigfoot DNA or to test DNA from potential extraterrestrial DNA. And so out of this, I started thinking about, places like Kickstarter that are out there. And what crowdfunding is where you have a project and you put it online and you say, hey, I need $10,000, I need $5,000 in order to get this project up and running. That project could be a book, it could be a documentary, it can be all sorts of things. But what happens is that if you're really into UFOs and trying to create a UFO documentary and you put it on a place like one of these bigger sites, it gets lost in the shuffle. There are so many projects that are on these sites, and a lot of the people that are going to some of those bigger crowdfunding sites aren't really looking for, paranormal projects. And if they are looking for them, they're very difficult to find. So what I started doing was thinking about this idea of crowdfunding and creating a specific niche specifically for the paranormal so people could get that type of money that they need for research, for documentaries, for their conspiracy theories, for ufology, anything that has to do with the paranormal, they can put their project there. It's a safe place. And also for other people that do podcasts, they could get their news from Truth Funders and see what some of the latest projects that people out there in the world are actually creating and doing in order to seek the truth. And so that was the beginning and the conceptualization for Truth Funders.
And how is it going so far?
Well, we launched about a week and a half or 2 weeks ago. We did our initial launch. And so we just have a couple of projects on right now. We have about 6 projects that are up. We have 20 projects in our arsenal, and we are releasing them slowly, sort of every day or two. There's a new project that shows up on the site. And, you know, it's word of mouth. We actually, we've sponsored Jimmy Church's show, Fade to Black. So that's helped to, you know, open the doors to let people know that we're out there. And not only that, but through social media, we have a lot of our team is there's 8 of us. There's 4 of us based here in the United States. And then there's 4 of us in the UK working, you know, the night shift where we can't stay up all night working here in California. So the late shift goes to the people over in the UK. And so it's going slowly. We've actually had an enormous amount of traffic to the site. So that we've had in the 2 weeks that we've been open, we've had about 4,000 people visit the site, which is fantastic. I mean, that's great. But as far as donations and people donating to projects, that's been a little bit. But just to be honest, it's been a little bit slower. And I think people need to begin to trust it and need to begin to understand it, you know, what's out there. And also, I think that once we have several hundred projects on the site, that's going to change because people can look and search on Truth Funders through, you know, a lot of these other crowdfunding platforms. You look for movies and you click on movie, and then there's hundreds of thousands of different projects of movies that people are trying to have people donate to. Whereas on our site, you can click on Bigfoot or UFO or alien abduction, and then it's not so much by movie, but it's by category. So, you know, if there's someone trying to fund a book on alien abduction, they would find it under the category of alien abduction. They could also find movies that are there. So it's more in tune to the search of what people like in this specific genre.
Uh-huh. Now, how we got together was Richard Cutting from Milgram and the Fast Walkers. He said he had conversations with you, thought you'd make a good guest. He's a great guy. I always enjoy talking to him. Now, I'm going to ask you, first of all, you and I had a conversation yesterday, and I was, you know, I was out in your town, which I think is pretty ironic, the very town you live in, San Rafael, California. I live there, you know, and you know exactly when I told you where I lived in these different places, and nice and warm out there. It's freezing back here. But I want to ask you, what started you on this path, the interest of the paranormal in general and UFOs, if you can touch on that topic as well.
Absolutely. Well, so my dad is a geologist. He works for the United States Geological Survey. And so science has been something that has really been very big in my family and my life, you know, since I was a child. My dad's a big sci-fi fan. I became obsessed with aliens when I was, I don't know, 7 or 8 years old. There was an original Time Life series books, and I don't know if you remember these books, but they would have this commercial, and it would say, 3 men were lost in the middle of the forest. One of them suddenly started floating into the sky towards a spaceship. Like, what happened? Find out in the Time Life Mysteries of the Unknown. And this was something that just captured me. I had my parents, I begged them to order these books for me. I started just, there's always been a connection, and I'm not exactly sure what that connection is, but I'm finding out more and more as I get older what that connection is. And I don't know if I should necessarily go into it right now on the podcast, but I've had some experiences. Back in 2007, I was actually in downtown Walnut Creek, California, which is you know, close to San Rafael, and I was getting out of my car, going to Kinko's just to fax some papers and make some copies for the business that I was working at then, and literally got out of my car, looked up into the sky, and I had my first UFO sighting in the middle of the day. And I was just astonished. It was right before the iPhone came out, so you couldn't take pictures. I had a flip phone. I couldn't, you know, it wasn't worth it. You know, in my mind, it was like, just look at this, stare at this, enjoy this experience. Don't try to capture it on your phone because you're not going to get that picture. But that was something that really just, I mean, made me a believer. And then from that moment on, I started to have dreams, and the dreams just kept coming. And I had these dreams when I was a child as well. There were these dreams that continuation dreams, where I was fighting a war, and I was in a war and I was helping people. It was an interplanetary war. And without saying all this stuff to make me sound, you know, totally bizarre and insane, these were these dreams that continued to grow and move forward as I got older. In fact, I was spending the night at this girl's house for the first time ever. It was like the first night I had spent at her house. She had three roommates, and it just happened to be the night that I was sleeping there. I had this dream where forever the UFO was chasing me in all the previous dreams I had. But in this particular dream, the UFO came and you know, the light beam came down from the UFO and sucked me up. And I screamed. I stood out of bed and I just stood there screaming, ah, at the top of my lungs. And I frightened this poor girl that you know, she had invited me to spend the night. She was like, what? And her roommates come running in, and it was just, it was laughable, I guess, at the moment, but I was dripping in sweat. And I've had these experiences, and they've been a part of me for my life. And so this is something that I felt that I wanted to give back to the community. I really feel that Truth Funders is a way to give back to the community and for our community to have a place to, you know, safely put our projects there without them being mocked by the rest of the world or shunned by, you know, some of the bigger crowdfunding platforms, and to actually have a place for us to trust and to, you know, and to, for the believers to help fund the people believing and actually getting off their butts and doing something and creating a project and trying to do something good and different in this world.
Wow. Yeah, that's very good. So we're ready to connect with Jonas, but I just wanted to ask you, how'd that relationship turn out?
It didn't. shortly thereafter, didn't have anything to do with that particular, you know, instance. But I'm happily engaged now to a wonderful woman, and she has stood by me while I've gone on this venture of creating Truth Funders, and it's been, you know, she's been right there with me the whole time. In fact, she was the one who came up with the name Truth Funders after my business partner and I were trying to tackle a proper name for so long. So you know, when you have someone there who doesn't quite necessarily understand but supports, that's a beautiful thing.
It really is. Okay, let's give Jonas a try.
All righty. Yeah. Go ahead.
Just real quickly, I heard just a slight bit of feedback just a second. Do you have earplugs in? I mean, earphones in?
I do, yes.
Okay, all right, very good. Jonas, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am. How are you tonight?
Very good. And Jonas, can you pronounce your last name? Because I think I kind of butchered it.
You did not. You nailed it. Tachanka is my last name. Excellent job.
Okay, very good. And you're in New York?
I am. Long Island, yeah. New York.
All right. So you're on you're in Eastern Standard Time. And let's talk about I love the title of your book, OMG UFOs. So let's talk about your book and how this relates to the Truth Funders.
Well, thank you so much, and I just want to say it's a pleasure for you having me on. I'm very excited to be here, and I'd also like to thank Mark for acting as my benefactor with this project. It's incredibly difficult to gain momentum with something like this. And, you know, whether or not the gum-chewing public likes it, ufology is becoming more and more of an established science, and it's slowly penetrating the mainstream media. And as we look across the spectrum that transcends media that's available for young adults today, and by young adults, I mean anywhere from 10 years old all the way up to 18 years old, obviously depending upon the maturity level, what's out there for them in terms of ufology? Of course, we have shows like Ancient Aliens, and H2, I think, has been instrumental in our cause, in as much as it exposes the public to ufology, but in a very shallow sense. And when they want to, young adults want to go beyond the television and really go in depth, there's not much out there for them. There are books that are very deep and probably wouldn't hold the attention span of most adults that I know, to be honest with you, let alone a young adult. So we need something that closes that gap. We need something that goes between Ancient Aliens and perhaps a video game that they would be sitting in front of for hours, or maybe a comic book that's going to entertain them for 10 minutes. We need something that's going to grab hold of them and teach them that this is not something that should be frowned upon. This is not something that should be looked as passé or throwaway topic. You know, listening to Mark talk earlier about the experience he had with the UFO, and before he told his story, which was an excellent story, Mark, if I don't say so myself, he said, "I don't want to sound like a crazy person or something to that extent." And you know what? You don't. You don't to me. You don't to many other people who support what you're doing and support this notion of ufology and the paranormal. It's not a crazy topic. And I think that for years, the mainstream media has been instilling upon the public that notion that ufology is crazy. And now we're slowly starting to make headway there, and it's slowly starting to open up to a broader audience, if you will. And what OMG UFOs is looking to do is to expand that audience to not only adults who have this curiosity, but young adults as well, because they're going to be doing what the three of us are doing right now 20 years from now.
Right. Well, I agree. You know, there seems to be a gap in young people with a lot of things. I think what's happened is there's so much technology flying at them every which way, and so many, as they say, it's kind of a rude word, but there's so many time sucks out there that people get involved in, whether, you know, it's social media, whether it's gadgets, that and it's a disposable society, and it's a society where, you know, the interest, a lot of interests that people have don't go out the door, so they just stay indoor with everything that's right at their fingertips. So, yes, I agree that, you know, things have to get passed down and the gaps filled and all that. So how did you two find each other? How does, you know, I'm just curious how something like this gets started, how people network. How does that all work?
Well, sure. Oh, go ahead, Jonas. Go ahead. You could talk about how we first interacted. I think it's through those same sort of social media circles. But go ahead.
Absolutely. There's a fantastic show that follows yours, Martin, on Dark Matter Radio Network. That's Fade to Black with Jimmy Church, and he's created a social media and Twitter, known as the Sandbox to its followers. And I've been working with Jimmy for a while now as a producer, low-level, helping book guests on the show and, of course, interacting in the Sandbox. And lo and behold, one night we were talking about Truth Funders, and we were so excited that there's was working with Fade to Black. And just as a throwaway comment, I had said, "Hooray for Truth Funders. They're going to be helping me publish my book next year. They just don't know it yet." And, you know, Mark contacted me after that, and he said, hey, how serious were you about that? And the relationship sort of blossomed from there. Once I got to learn what Truth Funders was really about, how sincere Mark's intentions were, well, he had me at hello, as they say.
Well, that's really, really kind of you to say. It's hard, you know. And I believe what I love about what Jonas is doing, and specifically about his book, is that I think that I look back to the time when I was 6, 7, 8 years old and obsessed with UFOs. You know, because I did wind up getting those Time Life books, but the next thing, the next evolution for me was Whitley Strieber's Communion. And so I went ahead and I bought that, and I think I was in third grade, and I started reading Communion. Now, you can imagine anybody looking at a 9-year-old or 9 or 10-year-old reading this book with this alien on the cover, and it was an in-depth book. I don't think I understood half of what I was reading, but I needed to know more, and I needed to understand more. And so I do think that there is youth that's out there, that there are young people that really want to know more about this. Maybe they have had experiences in their life, and so they're trying to figure out, and their brains are trying to figure out exactly what happened and connect the dots. Or maybe they're just really interested in it, and it's not there. There's not enough out there to connect them to it. A lot of it is the lore, which I mean, I love this stuff as well, but, you know, knowing about secret military bases and UFO flyovers that happen, and getting down into the nitty-gritty that some of, you know, the stuff that we cover on a lot of podcasts has to offer, that's great. But for being, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, sometimes that can be a little bit over the head or a little overwhelming. And so to ease into that and to start understanding that there really is something happening, there really is something that we can't explain that's going on out there, I mean, I support that project 100%. And Jonas's project is actually one of the ones that's doing the best on the site so far. And like I said, we've only been out for a week and a half, 2 weeks, and we've had a ton of traffic. But Jonas's is really starting to take off a little bit more. And I think that once people trust the site, and once we get a little bit more awareness to the site, like you had Rojas on at the very beginning of your podcast, man, I would love for him to just connect with him and to have him explain what Truth Funders is trying to do. Because we want to do research there. We want people to pay for some of the research that's going on and crowdfund that to help open the doors to what is really going on in this community and in this world that we can't explain. And one last thing, I know I just talked for like 5 minutes straight there, but I do think that there is this youth that has been watching Ancient Aliens and that is really into alien culture and ufology culture. And they're on Twitter, they're on Facebook, they are doing the social media. And so hopefully that's what we're trying to do with Truth Funders too, is reach out to people and reach out to people that want to do projects using social media and those tactics to try to get that younger generation involved and not just, you know, through word of mouth.
You know, I have Google Analytics on my site, and it seems to me that there are, you know, the percentages of 18 to 35 is absolutely 3/4 of my listening audience, or at least that visit the website. And so there are young people involved in actually looking, I do believe. However, it could be just because it's an internet thing, a podcast, easy to find, all that, because what is happening, you know, getting back to the younger people less involved, is across the board, every type of conference you can imagine, whether it's in the field that I'm involved in for, you know, antiques or any type of collectibles, Right across the board, the attendance, the young attendance is way down. And, you know, I just think it's because everything's geared indoor, and including this podcast and everything digital, basically.
You hit it. You hit it right on the head. You know, when I went to my first MUFON meeting, it was a year ago. And when I went there, I was the youngest person there. I'm 34 years old, and I was by far the youngest person at this MUFON meeting. But I know that there's people my age. I know that there's people way younger who are super into this. And if you type in podcast UFO, I mean, what great search terms are that, right? So people who are looking for it can find it. It's a way for them to connect. And that's, I'm sure that's why you're seeing it on your Google Analytics, because those people are interested and they are there, and they and it's a great way. Your podcast and the way that you're able to have podcast UFO be your keywords, those are just such beautiful, wonderful, magical keywords.
Well, it's funny you say that. You know, a few people have teased me about that, but that's 100% the reason why I chose the name. I thought, well, I want to do a podcast on UFOs. What is the simplest thing I can make it so people can find it? But it is kind of a silly name, but it definitely works as far as so much traffic that my website has been crashed twice in the last 6 months, and hopefully it won't happen again.
We can only hope. But that's a great sign, and you hit it on. You know, you really. That's right on, because in this new world, in order to reach people, people are plugged in, and the youth is plugged in. I mean, I take a look at my 5-year-old nephew, and he has his designated Amazon Fire module that lets him play any game he wants, but only lets him play it for an hour and a half before it cuts him off for the rest of the day. I mean, people are plugged in. If you walk outside on the streets, when we were kids, we'd be outside playing baseball or skateboarding or doing these things. And it's not like you don't see that. It's not like it's not happening still. But for the most part, I would say there's a much smaller majority of that happening, and what we're seeing is people on the computers or playing video games and doing that, and those are the people that we want to reach and say, like, hey, it's okay, you know, if you have had an experience, if you want to write a book about it, you could do that on Truth Funders. Reach out to us. If you have a documentary that you want to create, reach out to us. There's people out there that, you know, they work their day jobs, they come home, they're looking for the next news or something to be a part of. They might not go to the conferences, because conferences could be scary. You don't know a lot of people. It is an older generation. So if we can get this younger generation involved somehow, and maybe that is going to a conference, but if it's not, the next best thing is something like a Truth Funders or a podcast UFO, where people can be involved and feel free to do it in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, no, gentlemen, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I just wanted to add this briefly. I am a father of three, and while my oldest, my 17-year-old daughter, probably wouldn't notice a UFO unless it landed on my house and Bruno Mars stepped out of it, my 10-year-old son, Julian, is incredibly fascinated with ufology. You know, he'll sit and watch shows like Ancient Aliens with me. He tells me he discusses it with his friends at school. The other day he came up to me. It was such a proud moment. He said, "Dad, what's Kecksburg?" And I said, "Oh, my goodness." And we sat and had a conversation about Kecksburg. We've bought a telescope, and we've got him going outside, and we look at the stars. Obviously not tonight, it's 17 degrees, but when it's a bit warmer outside, you bet we're out there, we're looking at the stars. Kids want to get involved with this, and I think maybe it was, maybe not, but the exposure that UFOs have gotten in mainstream media, even if it's in mediums like movies where it's an Independence Day or it's in Men in Black and there's a slightly comedic twist to it, still raising those questions. And
absolutely.
I think that it is, excuse me, more or less intrinsic for us as human beings to have a relationship with the sky, to look up and say, what's up there? What am I doing here? Now, perhaps I was a strange child. Well, I know I was a strange child, but I asked a question. I know that there were other children that asked that question, and I think that that relationship with the stars was severed. Whether it was severed on purpose or not, I can't attest to that, but I will say that there's some time ago, probably within the 1900s, and I do think, Martin, that what you say about technology is spot on accurate. Our connection to the heavens has been interrupted. It's been terminated to a certain degree, and it shows like Podcast UFO. It's organizations like Truth Funders that are gonna get that connection reunited, so that. Again, the generation of tomorrow won't struggle the way that we struggle when it comes to ourselves on topics like ufology, like paranormal. It doesn't matter whether we're talking about Bigfoot or we're talking about grays. There's a certain stigma that's attached to us, whereas people are ready to jump out and scream, tinfoil hats, we're nuts. There's something wrong with us because we're fascinated with this. No. There's nothing wrong with us. This is as natural as trees in a meadow or fish swimming in a brook. There are extraterrestrials. I have no problem saying that. And I think that anybody who can't acknowledge the fact that there has to be something beyond this planet has serious issues. Either that or they've been brainwashed. I don't know. But I really hope that my book and my project, as well as some of the other projects that are on Truth Funders, they can really help expose what it is that is a passion of us to that much more of a segment of the population. Even if we get one more person, we grow that much stronger.
Yeah. Hey, just to let you know, there's some type of signal issue. You've been cutting in and out a little bit, and I don't know if there's a Wi-Fi issue or something like that there. I just want to let you know that. And so, Jonas, before you head out, you're going to be on just a few more minutes. Let's see. What started you down the path of the interest in this? And have you written books or any type of book before? Or is this the first one?
This will be my first book. I have a bunch of projects that are on hold at the moment because of this one. I've written blog posts here and there. It's always been something that I wanted to do, but I have to say, as Mark said earlier, and I'm hoping that the connection is better now, I did not know how to begin. And so I didn't think it was possible in terms of funding. And what Truth Funders has done for me personally is giving me an opportunity to sit down and write this book and get it out there to people so I could get some sort of momentum. Because without it, I was lost. I really didn't know where to begin. I had the idea. I know that I had other ideas, and we've spoken about those as well. I just didn't know how to begin. It's a formidable task for somebody who doesn't have exposure. While I've written before, writing on this topic is rather unique. You can't approach just any author with a topic like ufology. They're going to look at it with a bit of a canted view, as I said earlier.
Yeah, we have a bad signal on your line as well. So, I think I'm going to say that will probably be it for you. Do you have a website or anything you want to get out there?
Yeah, I'd like everybody to go to truthfunders.com. And if you don't support my project, support any project and tell your friends about it because it's a great site. Mark, thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate the opportunity.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, Jonas. I appreciate it. Thanks for coming on.
You guys have a great night. Thanks so much.
Thank you. All right. So let me just do something here. Okay. Here we go. And so we're back with just you, Mark.
All right.
And that sounds better. That signal's much better now. And
yeah.
So, Mark, we have about five or six minutes to the top of the hour, and there was a question here. If you don't mind, I'm going to ask you this question.
Please.
For the first speaker, he sounds like he feels he's a contactee. Is that so, or is that just what someone is speculating?
I couldn't quite answer that. I feel that probably deep down, yes. Is there proof? No. But I've definitely just been really, really intrigued and fascinated with UFOs and aliens for as long as I can remember. In fact, it was just last week. I think it was last Monday. I went to go and walk my dog. It was 1:30 a.m. and I walk outside, take three steps, and I look up and I see for the second time of my life, I see three lights. I mean, really big lights, very close, half mile away, that are never there ever. I ran back inside. I grabbed my phone. I wound up going back and the lights were still there. It's a little bit further away. I wound up, snapping six pictures, and throwing them on Twitter instantly, just like boom, 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 from being there until it disappeared. Have I been contacted? I don't know. I don't know if there's something about the cover of Whitley Strieber's book that struck me as a child that I felt that I needed to read it. I don't have an answer one way or another. But I have had dreams, and it's been something that stuck with me and enough to go ahead and create a platform for people to create projects to try to figure out the truth.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny. I had a conversation with my son a few weeks ago, and I thought I had my second sighting, but you know, I said to him, I'm not even going to talk about it. And the reason I'm not going to talk about it is because it would seem the first one was unreal to have, first of all, and the second one, like, I don't even want to talk about it because I'm afraid that I might lose a little bit of credibility. You know, being the host of the show, because a lot of times when people say, you know, they had this sighting, they had that sighting, and they have so many sightings, you know, you start to think,
right.
Maybe I'm overthinking it, but you can't get it out of me. I'm not going to talk about it.
Right. I mean, and that's how I feel too. It's the one sighting I had talked about with particular people, just some people here and there, the one that happened in Walnut Creek, California. And I had researched that. I mean, for years I would go online and research the date and look for it and see if anything else happened, if anybody else saw anything. That was clear as day. That was during the day. This other one was, just a week ago. And it was after I've started this Truth Funder stuff. There's been a couple of weird, wacky things that have happened since the conception of this. And it was started with my business partner. He, you know, used to work at sort of a bigwig at AOL Time Warner. He's created three other businesses, all that have done really well and sold. I have a very legitimate past, like I said earlier, being nominated for some prestigious awards. It's kind of strange to come out and talk about all of this stuff, but for what I'm doing, and creating right here, Truth Funders, it's a necessity to kind of talk about things that happen. I mean, there's people that I'm sure have seen ghosts, have seen strange lights in the sky that will not admit to it or will not talk about it. I don't think that, the more that we keep it to ourselves, the more it just remains taboo. And, if what I saw in the sky the other night was not a UFO or some strange object, then it wasn't. And that's great. And that's fine. And, you know, I don't care if something is real or not, as long as there's proof and there's truth. You know, like with the underwater Malibu base with Jimmy. I'm sure you've heard about that. They discovered that through Google Maps. You know, whether or not, if we're ever able to go down there and discover it, and let's say it is a UFO base, well, heck, we just nailed the jackpot. But let's say it's not a UFO base and it's rock formations. Well, you know what? Now we know that, and now we know the truth, and that's all that I care about. And I think that's what we all care about is finding out the answers to these items, like what's real, what's not, and it doesn't have to be X-Files music playing before, you know, when you're watching the news and they're talking about a sighting that 10 different people saw, and so it's actually making the news, and then they play the UFO or the X-Files music just to kind of make it campy. It doesn't have to be that way. It can just be people explaining what they see or talking about what they see or what they've experienced. It shouldn't be taboo.
Well, getting back to the Malibu underwater thing, I had a conversation with Jimmy Church. With Lee Spiegel about that. He was and he found out some geological information about that and was due to go on Jimmy Church's show, and then Jimmy Church did not call him. So I think that has been explained, but that's, like you said, that's just another one of the things that people are looking to find answers for. Just real quick, because we're at the top of the hour, I'm going to admit that I didn't report what I saw recently. I just didn't, and I just wondered, and shame on me. And I wondered, did you report either one of your sightings?
I reported it on Twitter, but did I record it on a MUFON site? I did not.
Yeah, just wondering. And yeah, it just kind of goes along with what I've seen in audiences when the question's asked. How many people think they've seen a UFO? The hands go up. How many people reported it? It's about 10%.
Right.
So right. I think that's kind of a fascinating number, and I understand it. All right, so we're coming up. This is it for this part of the show. And if you're listening live, hang in here. I have to do all kinds of things at once here.
And I think just if I could say real quick, I think Jimmy and Lee, they wound up, you know, working out all the difference, whatever happened. I think there was a, you know, they had a show together and all that stuff worked out. So that was good. But
I did not know that part. So, yeah. All right, so we're coming back. We're coming back in the next hour, and we're going to have Rick Fryer is on for a while. So that's it for the show. And remember, you can listen to the second hour for becoming a subscriber for $1 a month or more. That information is right on our website, podcastufo.com. And next week, I'm not really sure who's coming up. I had someone drop out of me, so it'll be a surprise guest next week. Thank you, Bruce Rainier and Carrie Lloyd Whitehouse for the music. Thank you, Peggy Shunning, for managing the Facebook page, even though Alejandro gave you some trouble about it. You can check us out next week live right here on the Dark Matter Radio Network, and 8 to 10 Wednesday, and like every week, and we'll be back. And thank you, everyone, and keep your eyes to the sky.